أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأني أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. As above said, today's talk is about the film that was released, and this is that's the poster for the film. That's the poster for the film, and it's obviously, as the Prophet said, it's about Biggie. It's about the notorious B.I.G., who we'll talk about in a little while. And some of you might have went to see the film in the cinemas. I'm sure the cinema auditoriums were filled out with little kids, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, going to see their heroes. Some of you might remember him. If you were old enough, you might remember Biggie Smalls back in the early 90s and what happened, you know, with gangster rap back in those days. And Source magazine, they called B.I.G. the best rapper of all time. They say he was the best rapper of all time because of his lyrical style, which was unique to B.I.G., also known as Biggie Smalls. So who was B.I.G.? Who was Biggie Smalls? Who was this hero that they want to make a film about? That they want to hype up? Biggie Smalls. He was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, in 1972. And back then, Brooklyn, New York, in the 70s, 80s, was a very dangerous place. You all know about Brooklyn, Bronx, Harlem. Rough streets. Rough times. It was a tough place. Just even in 1990, when things were getting better, in New York, there was over 2,000 murders. Now, you know, in London last year, there was about 30 knife crimes by youth. Think about over 2,000 murders in one city. So this is where Biggie Smalls grew up. His dad left the family at 2 years old. His mum was a religious Christian. I think she was a Jehovah's Witness. And Biggie Smalls went to Catholic school. He went to a good Catholic school in New York. But as I mentioned, Brooklyn was a tough place. You will see violence daily. You'll be involved in violence. People you know will be involved in violence. It is a tough place. So at 12 years old, Biggie Smalls made a change in his life. He started to sell drugs. He started to shop drugs. Knew some boy in the corner. He wanted to be a big man. If you see the film, as you will see, it was someone recording it in a cinema. This is the download I got. If you see the film, you will see how some girl started saying, you know what I mean, you're fat and you're all this, you know, I ain't never going to come with you. And he's thinking, he's a nobody. I need to start shopping drugs. I need to start making my money. I need to be somebody. So at 12 years old, Biggie Smalls, Christopher Wallace, his real name, started selling drugs. And his mum didn't know about it, because his mum had to work two jobs, because they had no dad to bring up their family. By the time at 17, Biggie Smalls dropped out of school. Christopher Wallace dropped out of school. He dropped out of school, and he got his girl pregnant. So he's thinking, now my girl's pregnant, I've got to look after my new kid. I got to start shotting some big time drugs. So instead of doing the drugs on the corner, he started to become the one that people come to. He started to be the proper dealer. Where he's got people out on the streets shotting drugs. So this went on. 17 years old. Got his girl pregnant. He got some offences. Firearms offences. Carrying illegal firearms. And he eventually spent 9 months inside for selling crack cocaine. He got caught by the feds, spent 9 months inside selling crack cocaine. So now he comes out again, and he's got his boy that he shot drugs with, and they get caught again. He's on probation, gets caught again with firearms offences again. And now obviously you go inside, you get caught again, you go in for longer. But his friend was saying to him, like, you know, when they found the gun, the feds were saying to him, one of you two had this gun. It shows in the film, I'll give you 1 minute to decide which one of you had this gun. Now, at that time, Christopher Wallace, he was becoming quite famous in the streets for his rapping. You know, in the rap, you've got rap, you know, you got battles. You go out, you know, you get that in grime as well. You listen to some of the radios, they have battles. You have battles over MCs. So he used to be quite famous in his battles over MCs. And if you go on YouTube, you will see Biggie Smalls, 17-year-old, doing these battles. And he used to win, he used to beat these people. So his friend was saying to him, look, you've got something. You can speak, you can chat. You can spit lyrics. That's something special you got. I will take it for you. I will say that I took the gun because you've already been inside. If you take it this time, you're going to go inside for a long time. So I will say that I took the gun so that you can go out and you can start making music. And he said something to him. He goes, if you make it, we all make it. It was obviously that time, as I said, Brooklyn, rough streets, blacks not getting much chance. He said, if you make it, we all make it. So he took it. He said that he carried the gun. And when Christopher Wallace, Biggie Smalls came out, there was people who say he knows Puff Daddy. Puff Daddy was a up and rising producer back then, and he would take a tape to Puff Daddy. So then Puff Daddy heard the tape, and then they thought, you know, this guy's got something. He can speak. He's an MC. He's a proper MC. And he would even, Biggie Smalls would say, look, if you give me the right management, I can be one of the greatest. So this was Biggie Smalls' story. He started to think, look, I've got a talent here. I can stop selling drugs. I can look after my daughter. But then Puff Daddy, he got kicked out from his record agency. And then Biggie Smalls started selling drugs again. But then he eventually got there. In 1992, he started to start his career in hip-hop. By 1994, he got his first album, which was called Ready to Die. And that album won so many awards that they said that Biggie Smalls, because at that time West Coast rappers like Tupac, Dr. Dre, they had all the limelight. So single-handedly Biggie Smalls took the focus back to New York. So this was what was happening with Biggie Smalls. And then Biggie Smalls and Tupac, they were friends and then they became rivals. And you probably know about the famous rivalry between Biggie Smalls and Tupac. Tupac was cussing him down on his MC, and Biggie Smalls was, you know, speaking about Tupac, and there was this rivalry, which eventually led to Tupac getting shot. Tupac getting shot dead. And Tupac is a very obviously big famous MC, got shot dead in 1996. And then in 1997, 1 year later, Biggie Smalls was going to release his new album called Life After Death. And he went back to LA to stop all this East Coast, West Coast rivalry, because it was between LA and New York, to promote his new album and to create peace amongst the hip-hop artists. But when he was in LA promoting his new album at an award ceremony, Biggie Smalls, 1997, at the age of 24, got shot dead in a drive-by. He got shot dead in a drive-by. So that was the short, brief life of Biggie Smalls. And what I want to go from there is, this is, you know, what Biggie Smalls is about, a lot of you might know that, is to talk about the thug life. Because why is this film so famous? Why is it on the BT phone boxes? Why is it on the posters? Because he's a hero for people. He's a hero for the youth. Hero for the youth on the streets, for the teenager in London. Because every little teenager in London thinks he's a gangster, thinks he's a bad boy. Walk around with hoods, trousers falling down, you know what I mean? Looking over their shoulder thinking that someone's going to come and stab them up, but probably looking off the shoulder for their dad really, or their uncle that's going to grass them up. Walking around as if they've got a spider in their shoe, with a nice little bop. Because this is it, this is the thug life, you know what I mean? Biggie Smalls is one of the heroes of the thug life. And everyone wants to be a G. Everyone wants to be a G. A gangster. You know what I mean? Go to school, 12, 13 years old. If you go to schools nowadays, everyone, you know what I mean? You see all the little kids, you think this is a gang college. You go to colleges, you think, you know what I mean, this is like a fashion show, gang fashion show. Every little teenager thinks he's a gangster, because your boys give you respect. Your boys give you respect, think, yeah, he's a bad man. He talks lies about all these things that he's never done, saying that he did it, and think they give him respect, think he's a bad man. Because I did this and I did that, and he ain't never done anything like that in his life. And he goes home at 6 o'clock and don't come out at night time. And that's the reality of a lot of these people. And then the girls will give you, think you're hard. You know, he's hard. Look at him. He did this and did that. This is the thug life. This is the gangster life. You know what I mean? And this is the life that people like Biggie Smalls hyped up, lived up to. So listen to the hip hop. When you listen to hip hop, all about, you know what I mean? All my gap. You know, how about shot in drugs? How many people I killed? I did this, I did that. How much spent? You know, this is the hip hop. Listen to grime. South London grime, North London grime, this, we're all talking about, I'm going to stab you up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that to your girl, and all this sort of stuff. Everyone's listening to me thinking they're a gangster. And people like Biggie Smalls are heroes. Died at 24, drive-by shooting, hip-hop star, former drug dealer. He's a hero of the gangster scene, of the thug life scene. But was Biggie Smalls really happy? Was he really happy in his life? When you look back, it says here, you know, title of the poster, No Dream is Too Big. Biggie Smalls lived the dream. He had the dream. The dream that all these youngsters on the street want to follow. He lived that dream. Was he happy? He had the girls. He had the money. He got married to Faith Evans. You know what I mean? He was saying, there's one part in the film, he says to Faith Evans, if I wanted, I could have 10 girls a night. He's got the cars, gold, he had everything. But remember the famous song, famous tune, Biggie Smalls and Puff Daddy and Mace made, more money, more problem. The more money you make, you know, the chorus of the song, the more money you make, the more problems you get. The more money you make, the more problems you get. More money, more problems, which was one of the platinum record, you know, singles. He had no peace in his life. He had the dream. He had everything. He had everything. Big man as he was. You know what I mean? He was a big, dark-skinned person. He had girls all over him. So he lived that dream. But he had no peace in his life. That's why he made his second album called Life After Death. Because he wanted to change his life. He wanted to have peace in his life. And in the interview that Biggie Smalls gave, before near the end of his life, he said he wants to focus on peace of mind. He wants to start spending time with his mum, my son, my daughter, my family, my friends are what matter to me now. This is what Biggie Smalls himself said. My mum, my son, my daughter, my family, my friends are what matter to me now. What happened to the thug life? The gap? You know, behind the jeans. The gangster life. Didn't mention nothing about that. He said these fundamental things are what is important to him now. Nothing about the thug life. Didn't talk about all that stuff. That didn't mean nothing to him. He lived the dream. And he said, no, I don't want none of that. That's why he made his album Life After Death. But when he went to LA to promote his new album, he got shot dead. He got shot dead and he was sent to Life After Death. So, isn't it ironic? His album was Life After Death, his second album that he didn't release. And he got shot dead. And only 15 days after he got shot dead, did his album Life After Death get released. But when he died, Biggie Smalls, all the fame, all the notoriety, all the acclaims saying that he was the best rapper of all time. When he died, what went with him? What did Biggie Smalls take with him at 24 years old? He took nothing in his coffin. And he will take nothing with him. The thug life got him shot dead with nothing to show for it in the Life After Death, the title of his album. And now I just want to show you from the film, there's a one or two swear parts, I do apologize for that, of when Biggie Smalls at the end of the film got shot dead and what happened at the end of the film. So there you have it. That was the last part of the film that showed that Biggie Smalls, in the last part of his life, he wanted to stop the thug life. As you can see, he wanted to stop the thug life, wanted to make a new change, as he was saying there, that he felt that God gave him a new slate. But then, as always happens with death, it comes when you never expect it. And he was shot dead at 24 years old. I want to bring now, looking at what we saw with Biggie Smalls and what happened with him and the thug life, bring another character into the story to contrast. And this character is Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. He was one of the closest companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was from a noble family from Bani Umayyah, one of the nobility of the people of Quraysh. He was rich and he was handsome, Uthman ibn Affan. Obviously, firstly, the comparison, people might think, how can you compare the B.I.G. to Uthman ibn Affan? Unfortunately, B.I.G. is much more of a role model to people than Uthman ibn Affan is. And that's why we're using him, and he's much more of a role model. Let's look shortly at his life. Uthman embraced Islam at 14 years old. He was the fourth person to embrace Islam. Some of the reports that he was the fourth person to embrace Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married his daughter Ruqayya to Uthman. His family was so harsh towards him because they were not believing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were still worshipping idols, that he had to emigrate to Abyssinia with some of the other Muslims. He then came back to Mecca and emigrated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and others to Medina. When he was in Medina, his wife, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, died in the second year of Hijrah. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so beloved was Uthman to him, he married him to another one of his daughters, Kulthum. And Uthman was known as Dhun-Nurayn, the holder of the two lights. And when they were asked, why was he called Dhun-Nurayn? They said, because he is the only one that we know in history that had married two daughters of a prophet. Uthman was known for his honesty, for his humbleness and his generosity, even though he was extremely rich. He was very humble with his wealth, very generous with his wealth. He used to give hundreds of dinars to the Prophet ﷺ, gold dinars, give food away for free. Caravans would come and he would give them away for free. This was Uthman. There was a time when the Prophet ﷺ and Uthman and others, they went to Mount Uhud, where one of the famous battles of Islam took place. And the mountain started shaking. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uthbut Uhud, Uthbut, because upon you is a prophet, a siddiq, and two shahids, two martyrs. The prophet, a siddiq, which is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, and two shahids, Umar and Uthman." So the Prophet ﷺ foretold Uthman ﷺ's shahada, his martyrdom, before it happened. Uthman ﷺ, after embracing Islam at 14 years old, marrying two of the daughters of the Prophet ﷺ, went on to become the third Khalifa of Islam. And under his reign, which was 12 years long, at that time the greatest state empire in the world, that stretched as far as China to the east and Morocco to the west. This, imagine how large the area that Uthman was ruling over. He was kicked out of Mecca. He had to flee from persecution. He went on to rule the greatest state in history. I'd like to read from his first khutbah that he gave when he became the Khalifa. It says, when he approached the pulpit to give the first khutbah of his Khilafah, after first praising Allah, he said, O Muslims, you are living with the blessings of peace and security that occur with Islam. With this blessing, you have neared the end of your lives. May your ends be auspicious. Day and night you have striven to the full extent of your abilities. Do not be deceived by the life of this world. Do not be haughty, arrogant before Allah, but learn from what has already passed. Do not be heedless or unaware. Be vigilant, Allah is not heedless. Those who love this world, who were devoted to it and built commercial buildings and palaces that we see everywhere before us, talking about the pharaohs of the time that were before the Arabs, who built these huge pyramids and other buildings. He said, where are these worldly dynasties that ruled us for so long? Was this world loyal to them? Learn from these individuals and do not overestimate this world, which Allah regards as insignificant. Prepare for the hereafter, which is your eternal abode. Uthman radiallahu anhu added, there is a good example for this in the Quran, and finished in his sermon by quoting the verse, the wealth and sons are the embellishment of the life of this world, but in your Lord's sight, right actions are lasting and bring a better reward and a better basis for hope. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, being so rich himself, telling people, don't get fooled by this world. Look at the kings that came before with the huge palaces. The world deceived them. What did he say? He said, was this world loyal to them? Was the life that Biggie Smalls had loyal to him? Was his gold loyal to him? When he left the world, nothing went with him. And this was Uthman radiallahu anhu, who was advising in his first khutbah. The Prophet ﷺ said to Uthman, said, O Uthman, it may be that Allah will give you a piece of cloth. If the people demand that you remove it, do not give it to them. So the Prophet ﷺ told this to Uthman. He probably doesn't know what the Prophet ﷺ is talking about. People will give you a piece of cloth. If they demand you to remove it, the people, maybe Allah will give you a piece of cloth. The people demand you to remove it, do not remove it. So what happened to the end of Uthman radiallahu anhu's life? He ruled the Khilafah for 12 years. There started to become some dissent amongst the Muslims. A delegation came from Egypt complaining about Uthman radiallahu anhu's governor in Egypt. So he said to them, okay, you select who you want to be as governor. They selected so-and-so person. His name was Muhammad ibn... I can't remember his name. And he said, okay, and then he wrote his confirmation of that. And they went back. After 3 days of their travelling, because obviously that time you travel by horseback and camels of those days, Uthman radiallahu anhu, one of his servants, caught up with them with a letter sealed with Uthman radiallahu anhu's seal. And in that letter, they took it off him. It ordered the ex-governor that he was going to be removed to kill the new governor. And these delegation from Egypt, what's Uthman doing? He's playing a trick with us. So they went back to Medina and they sieged Medina. There were 700 of them. And they sieged it for 22 days. And there was the people of the Ansar, who were the supporters of Islam. They prepared an army. But Uthman radiallahu anhu said to them, do not fight. Because he took a covenant with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that when it comes to your time of martyrdom, do not fight. And he also refused to resign. Because remember the hadith I told you, when the Prophet ﷺ said to him that Allah may give you a piece of cloth, if the people ask you to remove it, don't remove it. The cloth was the khilafah of Uthman ibn Affan. And they were wanted to, they were saying that, you know, they asked him to resign. So he said no, because of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ told him, don't give it up. So he never resigned, neither did he fight. Because the Prophet ﷺ said to him, do not fight. So they sieged Medina for 22 days. Eventually, some of them got into his house. And Uthman radiallahu anhu was reading the Quran. And they killed him. And the famous script, the Quran, the Mus'haf of Uthman, you can still see the blood of Uthman radiallahu anhu on the Mus'haf. But Uthman radiallahu anhu, he saw a dream. Because Uthman radiallahu anhu, he used to fast very often. He saw a dream on that night where the Prophet ﷺ said to him, be strong, you will break your fast with me today, tonight. SubhanAllah, Uthman was fasting and the Prophet ﷺ said to him, be strong, you will break your fast with me tonight. He saw that in his dream. And indeed, he was killed on that very day, became a shaheed. He didn't break his fast in the dunya. He went to the Prophet ﷺ and broke his fast with him. So look at the comparison of these two characters. You saw Biggie Smalls coming back to Brooklyn. All the people were gathering there, screaming, happy, singing, you know, playing his songs. But Biggie Smalls is having a different experience. His time has come to meet his Lord and to account for his actions. And then we have Uthman radiallahu anhu, who was killed, he died a shaheed. And the magnitude of the honor of the shaheed is unmatchable. That they will be given a crown with jewels in it. One of these jewels is more than the life and all that it contains. They wish no one that dies and enters paradise wish they come back to the dunya. Except the shaheed, because of the honor that they have got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he was killed, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and broke his fast with him. So I want you to look at these two comparisons and think, what life do you want to live? The thug life or the Islamic life? وَأَقُولِ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ